Can we all lift our hands again? Hallelujah. Just open your heart right now to the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Isn't that precious? So sweet to be in the presence of God. Glory to God. If you could stand in honor of our guest speaker, Sister Terry Spears. We are so blessed. I can't even describe how on point she has been every time she's come to this pulpit, and how she not only speaks to this, to what we need to hear, but it's one thing to speak the right words, but it's another thing to minister while you're speaking. And that is a great gift that Sister Terry Spears has. Thank you for ministering to us. Please come.
Well, I'm going to agree with Pastor John Seidel that this is a great church. I also get to sometimes sit in those staff meetings because I get to share with the staff too, and I'm always amazed at the way it all just clicks along together and everybody does their part and they do it so well and so efficiently. You are a blessed people. You are a blessed people. And while you pray for your pastor's recovery, please continue to pray for my husband's recovery and for Lois and I as we try to survive these two men. Neither one of them are good patients or good sick people, okay? They're not enjoying this part of the journey. So Steve sends his regrets again tonight that he wasn't able to be here. And we always enjoy this place. We always enjoy this place. And you can be seated. It's a Wednesday night. Everybody gets tired from the day. And tonight, I'm not going to do any big new revelation or something that you don't know. I feel like tonight I need to do some reinforcement of some things that we do know that we need to make sure that we're doing, because in this new season and in God's divine purpose that we're all striving to be in, we must keep our actions on course so we don't get sidetracked. So please repeat after me as I always do. I now in Jesus' name send the word, I receive the word you're sending into my heart, not my head, because my heart is fertile ground where the Holy Ghost lives and the seed will germinate. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The true power of the spoken word is really beyond our human understanding. It's a spiritual mystery, and it's a hidden secret that I want to unleash once again in you tonight during this season, because it's time for us as believers to rise up and to walk in the authority that God has provided and commanded us in this word. It's the same word that he spoke into us that he spoke when he began creation. And that's a powerful thing to think about. And while our crazy world is spinning out of control, I'm telling you, it's like every morning you're afraid to look at your phone or check the news, or because craziness continues to happen. And in this crazy world that God has allowed us to be in, and there doesn't seem to be real stability anymore or real lasting peace, there's one thing that never changes, and there's nothing that can prevail against this. The power of speaking that word is one of life's greatest mysteries. And it's all that you ever need to know to accomplish and to do what you need to do. It's all found right here, and it hinges on how you use it, how you activate it, how you speak it, and how you live it. It also is in our control to govern what else comes out of our mouth. Proverbs 23 and 7 tells us that what you think in your heart, you are. That's a scary thought, isn't it? And Jesus said in Matthew 12 that whatever is in your heart determines what you say. So what occupies your mind determines what eventually is going to flow out of your mouth. Because the law of cause and effect is continually at work. There's always an inner cause for every outer effect. And your outer world is a direct result of your inward world. Your thoughts provide fuel for your words. And your words provide fuel for your world. So we must learn to control thoughts and words and filter it all through His word. You must become the master of your thoughts. That's a hard thing. It's constantly sifting through your thought life and filtering out anything that you do not want to show up in your future and focusing only on those things that you truly desire to become. God wired our thoughts to have power, so you would be equipped to overcome obstacles. And He fashions you not for destruction. He fashions you to create and to innovate and to strategize and to succeed, because I'm made in His image. So that's what I'm programmed to do, but I have a choice of what I do. Then to be very sure not only that we can succeed, He put His own divine thoughts and nature within us. I love this scripture. Let's look at it. Jeremiah 31 and 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts. I'll put my word inside of you. And I'll write it in your heart, and will be their God, and they will be my people. To think that He will put His instructions deep within inside us, and He will even write them in our hearts and our thought processes. It's clear that it's my choice to hook up to this or to hook up to the world. If you want to have life-affirming thoughts, thoughts of success and prosperity, then fill your ears with words that produce these things. Now, let me put a little parenthesis here, because when I speak of success and prosperity, I'm not talking about millions of dollars in your bank account and a garage full of Mercedes Benz. Hey, if you've got that, God bless you. Come see me after church. But when I speak of success and prosperity, it's from the context of the kingdom, because success is the fulfillment of divine purpose. That's what true success is. When I can fulfill my divine purpose, I'm very successful. And prosperity is when I have enough divine provision to overcome the obstacles in my life. So fill your ears with words that produce these two things: His purpose and His provision to my life. Eventually, if you hear something enough over time, it forms a belief. And a belief will produce an action. I see it all the time in my grandkids. How many times do we have to tell them the same thing over and over and over and over? until finally they get it. My son has four boys, and every day on their way to school, they say, "We're the Spears boys, and we do the right thing." And they have to say that numerous times to reinforce when they get to school that they are going to do the right thing. And he's been doing this with them for probably 4 years, and thank God it finally paid off today. One of them got Student of the Week. And we're like, yes! And when he got into the car this afternoon with all the brothers, they're like, yes, we are Spears boys that do the right thing. We're like, thank God. Because when you hear something over and over and you reinforce those words, it becomes part of you, and therefore the actions become what the words are. Paul said that faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? Through the word. Jesus operated in this truth. You know, he took on a huge task of transforming the mindsets of 12 outcast fishermen. And all kind of rough guys. I think all of them but John were pretty tough. John was probably the nice one. But they were rough guys, and he spoke to them continually. He would speak spiritual truths to them in order to stretch their spiritual thinking, where they could understand that there is success beyond this three-dimensional world that we live in. And he knew that it would take constant exposure to the light for the light to finally turn on in their head, just like it did with my grandkids today. Your words are a gift from God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word created. And your words can be creative in your own life. Through your words, you express His creative power if you're using them properly. You manifest so much through your words. What you feel, what you are, it comes out of your mouth, unfortunately. It's a power you use to express and communicate. You know, there's no other creation on this planet that can speak. That's a gift from God. But like a sword with two edges, your words can create a beautiful life, or it can destroy everything around you, depending on how you choose to use your words. Word is so powerful that one word can destroy a life or it can uplift a life. In Germany, so many, many years ago, one man, by the use of the spoken word, led many people into one of the most dastardly deeds that has ever been done. He convinced people to commit the most atrocious acts of violence. And like a big explosion, there was killing and war all over the world. All over the world, humans began killing other humans because they were afraid of each other. It was Hitler's words that were based on fear and generated beliefs that would be remembered for centuries. One man's words caused nations to collapse and genocide of unparalleled proportions. Because he spoke, and he believed what he spoke, and it became a very forceful thing in the atmosphere. You see, the human mind is like fertile ground, and that's why we go through this thing that I say every service, because seeds are continually planted in us. And seeds are opinions, ideas, concepts. You plant a seed, you plant a thought, and believe me, it's going to grow. The word is a seed, and the human mind is fertile. I don't care what you have to do, how you have to do it, but you need to find some way to put word in you every day. Whether it's listening to it, whether it's on your phone, whether it's a translation that you liked, whether it's, I don't know, it's a podcast, I don't care what it is. Find a way that every day the Word of God is filtering in your thought processes. It will change the way you think about everything else. Because everybody's mind is fertile. And it's only fertile for the kinds of seeds that it's prepared for. And what's important is to see what kind of seeds our minds are fertile for and prepare to receive faith and love. Brother Barnes taught me something years ago that I've used so many times. He said, there are three travelers for good and there's three travelers for bad. There's three trios for good, there's three trios for bad. There's faith, love, and hope for the good. There's fear, doubt, and unbelief for the bad. And you decide who you're going to let sing to you. You know, take the example of Hitler. He sent out all the seeds of fear. It grew and it created massive destruction. Look at our world today. What words are doing to totally reshape our society and our nation. I am so sick of all the negative words that we have to put up with every day that is coming through our atmosphere. And if we are not careful as people of God, all those negative words that we keep hearing in the media and at work and wherever we go, it's a constant barrage. And if we're not careful as people of God, we will pick up negative spirits. And what that will do is divert your divine purpose from God. Because he doesn't operate in fear, doubt, unbelief, and negativity. He operates in faith, love, and peace. And you better start finding some stuff to offset everything else that you're hearing and listening to and seeing around us, or it's going to oversaturate us. We have the power to speak good things into people and circumstances or evil things. We constantly have a choice. For example, if I see a friend of mine and I just say whatever pops in my head, like, oh, I see that color on your face. That doesn't look good. I've seen people with that color that had cancer. If she listens to that word, she could possibly succumb to sickness just out of the fear and the negativity that she has received from me. Your thoughts can make you sick. Now, please don't leave tonight and say that everybody that's sick is just thinking wrongly. That is not true. But it does play into your overall health and well-being, how you think. I'll prove it by scripture in a minute. You know, as parents, we need to be very careful of the words we speak over and in front of our kids. I heard somebody in an airport the other day with a kid. I'm telling you, it took all the Jesus inside of me. Because they just outright said, I am so sorry, but you are just ugly. And you know what? That little girl heard those words. And she probably will believe that for the rest of her life, no matter how beautiful she grows up to be. Because by a spoken word, your mind can believe for better or for worse. You know, if a child hears you say you're not going to ever amount to anything, what do you think is going to happen to that child? Because there's power in what you say. The mind goes in hundreds of different directions, and we may go through life feeling ugly or stupid because of somebody that said something to us. But then one day somebody walks into our world and starts speaking life-affirming words, and all of a sudden we change the way that we feel about ourselves. Please be a body of believers that speak affirming words continually to each other and about each other, whether you believe them or not. Start speaking it. You'll start believing it. Misuse of words is how you pull others down. Correct use of words is how you build up your family and your church. I don't know, have you ever got up in the morning and you're feeling pretty good about yourself and about life, and you get all dressed and you look in the mirror and you kind of smile because you like that outfit, and you're kind of glad about the way everything came together and your hair actually looked decent that day, and you walk in work and somebody says, "What the world are you wearing? That looks so ridiculous." That one opinion changes your whole day. And you never want to wear that outfit again. Because somebody spoke negative things to you. These type of words are so difficult to break. And this is why we have so much problem in our society. You have to reject this and start looking toward love and truth. I don't know how many times you've spoken destroying words over somebody, but it's called gossip. And it's poison. And be careful, because your children hear what adults are saying and giving their opinions about other people, and it's emotional poison that's transferred. Gossiping has become the main communication in our society, whether it's verbally or through social media. It's craziness. And it makes people feel badly. You know the old phrase that says misery loves company? It's true. If you're feeling bad, you just want to spew it all out on somebody else. Using the analogy of the human mind as a computer, which it kind of is, gossip is like a computer virus. And it gets lodged in there, and all the language that's supposed to be communicating ends up, the code is all messed up. And most of the time it comes and we really aren't aware of what's crept in. And then our computer's not working properly and it's not functioning because everything's all mixed up and it's getting conflicting instructions, and confusion comes out. God is not the author of confusion. Take this for example. Let me show you how words can affect. Say you're about to start taking a new college class that you're just super excited about, and man, you've been looking forward to it, and you run into somebody who also just took that class, and they start filling you with, "That professor is just a jerk. I don't even know why I went in there." You don't really have any idea what happened or why that person may just be failing the class. But you've just ingested gossip that you're now going to believe, and you're going to start seeing that professor through the eyes of somebody else's conversation. And then you drop out of the class and you blame the teacher. And the truth is, it was all just because of something somebody said. All this mess caused by one little computer virus. And it robs us of our good lives. Please remember, when you listen to gossip, you're allowing a virus into your system. And somewhere you're going to pay for it. And in an effort to try to clean it up and get relief, unfortunately, people spread it. And then it goes from person to person until we see what we have in our world today, a world of negativity. Then we try to justify. We only make ourselves more sinful by justifications. Just withdraw from such things and fill your mind with good things. What did Philippians say? Think on these things. Things that are lovely and pure and wonderful and positive and all these wonderful things. Not the other stuff that's spewed out constantly. Let me just give you the right to where if somebody comes up to you and starts spewing negative, for you to say, I'm really sorry, but I just can't listen to that today. It's okay. Because you are responsible for your own heart, your own mind, your own soul, and you must guard it and guard it continually, or we will not ever reach our potential for what God has planned for us to be. We are to be a joyful people, full of victory, not defeated, full of love, not all the negative things. When people walk into our personal presence or into our church, they should feel a difference. So consciously choosing your words is powerful. Scripture supports this again. Job 22 and 28. I love, and my translation may be different. I want to read this one. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your way. If you're walking and you can't figure out where you're going and it looks dark, start speaking the word, and I promise you, light will start opening up and things will start becoming clearer because you are letting light into your situation. That's a powerful scripture. Peter told us we belong to a royal priesthood and we must manifest that royalty. I'm intrigued by the royal family in London. By the way they conduct themselves, by the way their children conduct themselves, they have a standard that they live by. And you don't see them dressed in certain ways. You don't see them saying certain things. You don't see them doing a lot of things that everybody else does because they're royalty. And they have to learn and they have to be disciplined enough to live according to those guidelines. My friend, you're royalty. And because you're royalty, you have to be disciplined enough to speak the things that you should only speak, to look the way that you should only look, to represent the King of Kings. They're just representing the Queen Mother. I am representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He doesn't want me spewing negative things. He wants me speaking positively, speaking His word, letting there be light wherever I go. The whole universe is waiting for us to give instructions. It waits in anticipation for the sons and daughters of God to manifest themselves and bring back into alignment with God's original intent to bring heaven to earth. And it can't be done if we're talking the wrong way. Every word you speak has the potential of creative power. You know, when a ship sets sail across the sea, the pilot will plot the course if they're going across the ocean. And then he determines the times that he has to adjust the direction of his ship to stay on the course that he has set. And he checks his calculations from time to time to ensure he's heading in the right direction. Because when you're out in the middle of the ocean, my friend, you don't have a clue which way is north, south, east, or west if you're not following something. So he may have to navigate around a storm, or he may have to navigate around a strong current, but he always steers with his focus more on where he's going than what he's going through. And if he constantly changes the steering because he's fixating on present circumstances that he's in the middle of, then the ship's going to just go in circles and never get to where it's supposed to be. And we are a lot the same way. You only arrive at your purpose and destiny if you keep your thoughts lined up, your words lined up, your habits lined up, and in center with where we're going, not what we're going through. What happens if a ship heads in one direction one moment and turns the opposite direction the next moment? It's pretty simple. They're just going to go nowhere. And this is what happens when people start speaking about good things they're expecting to happen one minute and then spend the next half hour talking about all the negative things that are happening around them to keep them from getting the good thing. They're turning their lives in circles. They line up with spoken words with a while for where they want to go, and then they meet a storm, and all they can do is talk about how bad it is. Don't talk about what you're in the middle of. Talk about where you're headed. You've got the power to turn your life around, and you have the ability to press on through to the other side. Even in the midst of what looks like total disaster. Keep speaking a blessing. Keep speaking your destiny. Keep speaking your purpose. Keep speaking what God says about you. Your faith attracts the attention of heaven. Your fear attracts the attention of hell. Your words become the magnet that will draw either heaven or hell into your situation in life. Always remember, no force is more powerful than the spoken word of God. Proverbs said it best, power of life and death is in your tongue. It's the word of God that comes forth from your mouth that pulls the resources of heaven into your situation. You know what? If you've got a problem, dear Lord, find you a promise in this book. Park yourself on it until you pull it into fulfillment. I can't tell you how many times I've had a situation or a problem, and I will write four or five scriptures and put them everywhere. They're in my car. They're on my mirror. They're in my books. They're everywhere. They're on my refrigerator, because I know that if I keep speaking his word, that life and light is going to come into that situation, because his word will not fail and it never comes back void. It works, and you have it at your fingertips. But you have to decide which trio you're going to listen to. And until you decide to reverse the perpetual cycle of disorder, then you're going to continue to have defeat and failures. Harness your thoughts and your words. Don't just let things happen. Make them happen. Speak life into that situation. You've got the power to declare and decree. Do it. You're made in his image. Decree and declare what you need done around you. Don't be counterproductive in your declarations by decreeing one thing and then confessing something else. Come on, stay positive in this negative world. You're responsible to speak in accordance with divine will and purpose, because you're royalty. You're a princess. You're a prince. And you need to act like one. You're not to be dominated by circumstances. You are to take authority over them and decree the will of God to manifest in Jesus' name. John 16 and 23 says, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, listen, whatsoever you'll ask in the Father's name, what? Now, you may have to ask for a while. There's this thing about God. He's sovereign, and he thinks he's in charge. And sometimes we ask for things out of season and out of time. And let me tell you another little thing I learned about God and answering prayers. There's a lot of working parts to problems. And maybe you've lined yourself up to receive there's another circumstance around you that God is still working on to remove a roadblock so you can receive. You've got to remember there's a lot of things working in any problem and in any situation. And sometimes we have to continually ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But you must continue to do those things. And the reason we don't see so many things answered and miracles and things, we get weary in well-doing. And we just quit. And I'm just here tonight to tell you, don't quit. Whatever you ask in his name, he's going to come through. You know, when God made the declaration, let there be light, he was really saying, I allow light to be. He was giving light that was straining at its harness to exist, permission to manifest itself in the spiritual world and then in the physical world. Light's not only the absence of darkness, but it's also the yoke-breaking presence of God. He is light, and he dwells in each of you, so you need to turn on the light in yourself. And we do it by speaking positive words. Let there be light. Here's a great trick to remember. I figured this out probably 10 years ago. I figured that if God said, let there be light, and light appeared and manifested itself, then why couldn't I speak light into situations that I needed? So, something comes up, something happens. I just back off and say, God, let there be light in this situation. Let there be light. Show light so the darkness has to melt away. And when I bring God into something, since he is light, then the light of God opens it up and the darkness will flee. I promise you it will. But if you constantly feed yourself on the same negative thought cycles, you're going to get the same results. So when something happens, start just saying, let there be light. Let it happen. Speak those words. James 1 and 17. I love this. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of light. That's where it comes from. He wants you to have good and perfect gifts. So open the spiritual avenues of your mind. Let him download divine, creative thoughts into your life. The world has filled us with too much too long. And I'm not up here speaking against social media, but if you spend hours a day checking social media, you're going to have trouble staying positive. Because that is not a positive place. I want us to make some declarations tonight. And I want us to use the spoken word tonight. And I want us to release some things into the atmosphere and watch what God will do. Because I do believe he's getting ready to blow our minds in Madison, Wisconsin. And he's positioning us for supernatural abundance and unprecedented favor. But without a shadow of a doubt, he will show up when we start aligning ourselves as we should. Your breakthrough and miracle is on the way. It's on the way. I want the musicians to come, and I am going to pray. And here, I know that in Pentecostal circles, we all, you know, say what we say, but here's what I want you to do. I want to pray, and I want you to agree with me in what I'm praying. Because I want you to let this into your spirit. And when we finish praying, we're going to do a little thing to reinforce what I've been saying tonight. So let's bow our heads. I want to pray for all of you. Lord, I'm standing in your presence, and I have been declaring from this pulpit that this is a new day and a new season and divine purpose and divine revelation. So I take authority over circumstances and life that keeps manifesting itself here in Jesus' name. Every part of our lives should begin and cooperate with the purpose and the destiny that you have intended for us. It's the dawning of a new day, God. I know it is. I feel it. And that's why there's so much turmoil in our physical world, is because of what's happening in the spirit. And I pray that our season of frustration and failures has come to an end, and that we are starting to walk in a season of success and prosperity, and old things are passing away and all things are becoming new. And anything or anyone that is assigned to undermine and to frustrate and to hinder and to hurt us, I command to be moved out of our sphere of influence in the name of Jesus. We take dominion and authority. I decree and declare that a new day is dawning for all of us, for our jobs, for our ministries, for our finances, for our relationships, for our health. Lord, I download from you health and success and vision and direction and ingenuity and creativity and spirituality and holiness and righteousness and peace from your spirit into my day. I have fresh excitement, God. I have a fresh mind. I have a fresh zeal. I have fresh anointing that I want to be uncontaminated. Empower me to serve you in holiness and righteousness. Dismantle the evil powers that are working to frustrate our assignments and our activities. Assign angels as divine escorts and supernatural security. Let them marshal the boundaries and borders. Close the gates of death and seal up the doors of affliction and torment in this area. I stand here tonight and remind principalities and powers and familiar spirits that they have no right to touch our lives in any way, because we are in covenant with God, and I am hidden in the secret place of the Most High. And I thank you for that, Jesus. I thank you for that. Now here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to find their cell phone. I don't want you checking messages or Facebook or Instagram. I want you to turn your flashlight on. Oh, I see the first one pop on. Of course, the kids all get them on first, because the rest of us are looking for where we turn it on. Turn your flashlight on, hold it up. Beautiful sight. Do you mind standing? Let there be light. And as you hold your light up, I'm going to ask you to repeat some things after me in Jesus' name, because we are going to reinforce what we've just learned. Are you ready? I want you to say these things. I'm a child of God. I am born of incorruptible seed. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm forgiven of all my sins. I'm a new creature in Christ. I am complete in Him. Everything about me is changing for the better. I'm healthy. I'm physically fit. I'm mentally prepared. I'm spiritually charged. Sickness and disease have no control over me. My mind is resolute. Now, this is a big one. My emotions are sound. My faith is unfaltering. And the zeal of the Lord fills my soul. Now, rejoice in that newly declared light that you have just let come into your life. He is the light, and therefore I am the light in this world, and I will not act like darkness. I will be positive. I will speak His word. I will not let negativity into my spirit, because I'm headed for a divine purpose that nobody can stop. He is the light, and I am letting it work in me. Y'all lead us in worship. Thank you for it. I want you to worship about the light. Hallelujah.
I'm desperate for you.
I am desperate for you, Lord. I want your light to work in me tonight. Clean out anything that's not like you. Let me become true light in a dark world.
Lord, I'm lost without you.
I want to only speak your words. I want to only speak the positive things of God. Lord, I release that over this audience. I release a spirit of positivity.
I'm desperate for
and an uplifting nature to come into our midst. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I'm lost without you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're a guest of ours, we want you to have the opportunity to come and pray and talk to God. There is someone here will come alongside of you and pray with you if you so wish. Take this opportunity, whatever it is that you need to lay down before God, whatever it is you need to lay aside that's weighing you down, come to the front and surrender it to God, and He will make a way for you to move forward from this day with a fresh start, a fresh light, a fresh step. Come and surrender your heart to God. Praise God.
This is the air I breathe.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Your holy presence.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavy. Hallelujah. Bring any negativity that is clinging to you and let it be washed in the blood of Jesus. Let it be released from your life. Surrender it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is my day.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Your very word.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Help me and I.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm desperate for you.
Find a moment. Find someone to pray with.
And
someone who can share your burden. Someone whose burden you want to share.
I'm lost without you.
Praise God.
And I.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm desperate for.
Yes, God. Fill it with your light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And this is the air I breathe.
Praise God. Praise God.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence. Heavy.
God, penetrate your understanding tonight. Let God's word
this
speak to you.
This is my day.
place, God.
This is my day.
Let God give you a promise for this day, for this week,
for
your home, for your workplace. Let the light of God's word show you the steps to take. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said his words were light and their life.